Trails MV Podcast. I'm Jason Seifer.
And I'm Greg Pollock.
And this is episode 75, April 15th, 2009. It's tax day for our U.S. listeners. I hope everyone's freaking the f*** out. The Rails MV Podcast is sponsored this week by New Relic. New Relic provides RPM, which is a Ruby on Rails performance monitoring application that lets you see and understand application performance metrics in real time so that you can fix Rails problems fast. RPM is intuitive, it's granular, and it's only a 10-second Rails plugin install. Check them out at newrelic.com.
Now that Google App Engine runs Java, Ola Binney wrote a blog entry showing how he's successfully been able to get JRuby on Rails up and running on it. He even created a sample blog application, which you can see up and running on Google App Engine, and try it out yourself.
Do you have to use their data store? Can you use MySQL or Postgres or something?
Yeah, you have to use the Google data store, but Ola wrote up an easy wrapper for their data store called Bumble, which wraps it up pretty nicely in an ORM-type library. He also wrote a library called BEEU, I guess that's BU, which allows you to interface with Google's user service.
Okay, so that the authentication for your site goes through a user's Google account.
Exactly.
The Radiant member extension, which is quite possibly the hardest thing possible to Google and get valid results back, has some new features in it. You can restrict access to site pages below a certain path requiring member login. Members can be managed from the admin interface, and you can do a whole bunch of stuff with members. There is more stuff involved, so check it out. We'll provide the link in the show notes.
Does this have something to do with members extensions?
Member extension for Radiant.
Like the email thing that I get, like that my spam folder catches all those emails for member extensions.
How would you know that your spam filter is catching it?
Oh, well,
sort of awkward. I did sort of see a charge on the Rails MV card I've been meaning to talk to you about.
I deny everything. Evan Weaver posted a blog entry last week about tuning the garbage collector in Ruby for optimizing garbage collection. So if you're scaling Ruby or Rails, it's definitely worth a read.
Yeah, good one. What does he talk about?
Well, first he recommends applying Stefan Case's RailsBench garbage collection patch to improve memory consumption. Then he shows you how to tune your application by applying another patch, this one by Sylvain Joyeux, which allows you to observe your object allocation deltas. The bottom line is that by tuning your environment variables, which control garbage collection, you can sometimes speed up your application by 30 to 40%.
So how is this different from Ruby Enterprise?
I'm honestly not entirely sure what the difference is between this and Ruby Enterprise Edition, but I suspect this allows you to get a little further, you know, down the rabbit hole so that you can really fine-tune your garbage collection settings.
Carmen Blake wrote up a cheat sheet entitled VimI for the Rails Guy that unsurprisingly gives you a cheat sheet for different Vim commands, including the Vim Rails plugin written by T. Pope. I guess by calling it VimI for the Rails Guy, that's sort of similar to saying, like, to that show, you know, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. So I don't know what Carmen's trying to say about Vim, but we're just going to throw that out there.
This week, Probably Interactive put up a blog post on how to get Chef working with Amazon EC2. In case you don't remember, Chef makes configuration management look easy, allowing you to create a Ruby script which can install and configure everything you need to get up and running.
Well, that seems like a pretty good fit for EC2, you know, where you often have to, like, create servers and then configure them for your app.
Exactly. And this tutorial is also a great way to get started with Chef and EC2 if you haven't tried EC2 yet. So check it out if you've been meaning to learn how to work with either.
Joshua over on the Technical Pickles blog put up a post about using RR for mocking and stubbing. He uses the example of Trogdor the Burninator. To show how to do all of this mocking and stubbing. The examples are pretty funny and also easy to follow. I love it. He does stuff like stub trogdor.burninate.
Burninating the countryside.
Does that like stub countryside.burninated? Then you pass a block that returns true.
Oh, I hear a song coming on. Trogdor! So I hear that Twitter loves Scala, and they're rewriting everything in Scala because Ruby and JRuby sucks.
I don't want to say that I was, you know, kind of saying this for a while. No, but you know, a lot of people were kind of up in arms because of the summary that the Register did on Alex Payne's Web 2.0 talk, talking about Scala.
Right.
Where, you know, I saw that and I sort of thought, like, you know, there's no way he would have been as demeaning towards Ruby as he was, like the way they put it. I would have been. I think the summary was a bit off there. But anyway.
You think? I don't know. It sounded like from other sources that he was sort of evangelizing Scala. But you know, I think the moral of the story is he was just talking about how they're using Scala as a message queue. And so they replaced, you know, their other message queue. What were they using? You know, Starling, right? They created Starling, replaced it with Scala. And, you know, I happened to notice that ScalaEnvy.com is still available.
Did you register it?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
Because I'm not like you. I don't have to register everything I think of.
Can I register?
No, to be honest with you, I couldn't think of a catchy phrase. You go for it.
You couldn't think of a catchy phrase for Scala Envy?
What would you put there?
I don't know. Just something about Ruby. Actually, no. I was actually going to register Ruby versus Scala Pissing Contest.com. But I also couldn't think of, you know, what would be good enough to put there.
Yeah. Anyways, if you want to read more about the Twitter Scala Ruby drama, there's some great conversation over on Tony Esseri's blog, where even some Twitter employees chime in and dialogue back and forth with, you know, they're really passionate Ruby developers. And, you know, I think it just comes down to people that, you know, I think it just comes down to that it's important we don't get too passionate about our language of choice, you know, and also it's important that we don't switch to Scala because Ruby is the ultimate programming language.
Good work. Speaking of Starling, on the Time to Bleed blog, which gets updated about once a month, Joe D'Amato talks about, he has a post up there with five things you don't know about user IDs that will destroy you. And in it, he actually goes through and takes a code snippet from the Starling project and shows how, you know, you actually don't want to do this when working with Unix privileges. So some of the things he says to keep in mind are avoid process.euid at all costs. Anyway, he goes really in depth in the blog, and I don't really know that it's worth summarizing here on the podcast, but definitely check out the link that you'll have in the show notes.
So Jason, one or two days a week, I find myself working down at this great coffee shop about a mile away from my house called Boston Coffee. Anyways, that's also where I typically run into a friend of mine named Eric Hirschman, who works on a project called Ushahidi, which is creating a platform that helps collect data and visualize it on a map, kind of like a mashup. But this is a mashup that can be used to track crisis situations, like it was already used to map reports of violence in Kenya after the post-election fallout, and it's currently being used to monitor the 2009 Indian elections. So what's cool about this is anybody can report instances of violence, forged voting, or voter bribing, and it instantly appears on a map.
Oh, that's cool. Probably would be really useful in remote areas where no one's reporting exactly what's going on. And, you know, you can't find a lot of media coverage.
Yeah, that's the idea. And all you need to do to report something or view what's going on is to have a mobile phone. And, you know, people have mobile phones in these remote areas now. And with this type of crowdsourcing, you know, as you can imagine, you can get important news and situational information that you wouldn't really get otherwise.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I've been bugging Eric about how, you know, I might be able to help with a project. And recently he told me something about something coming out of Ushahidi called Swift River, which is a Rails application, which, like Ushahidi, is about gathering data. But instead of being focused on just user reporting, it pulls in data feeds from all over the internet and tries to filter out the most important information and bring that to the top.
Oh, okay, so it's kind of like Reddit or Dig, but without the voting.
Right,
right,
right. Where, like, the most important, you know, information on a situation or a crisis could then flow to the top. And Swift River is actually looking for developers right now. So if you're looking for a Rails project to contribute to, which has the potential to help people around the world, this might be a good opportunity.
Cool. Robbie over on the Robbie on Rails blog put up a list of 20 articles on Rails on Cucumber over on the Robbie on Rails blog talking about Rails on Cucumber. There is also a recipe on there, a free recipe for cucumber water.
What's cucumber water?
So here's the recipe. You basically cut up a bunch of cucumbers and put them in water.
That's so easy. I could cook it.
Yeah. Anyway, cucumber is actually pretty awesome for, integration testing. So check it out.
So earlier I was talking about how Java is running on Google App Engine. And Samuel Gobert wrote a tutorial showing how to get Sinatra running on Google App Engine using JRuby, of course. And it's definitely worth a read if you want to try running an application on Google App Engine.
Okay, over on the Posterous blog, it doesn't say who the author is, but they wrote an article on using Rails Metal to decouple uploads from your Rails application. This is pretty awesome because Rails Metal is really, really fast. I don't think it's been getting enough hype. Rails Metal is the thin interface on top of Rails to use Rack. So check it out.
Interesting. So what does it do? Does it actually do the file upload in like a different thread or what?
So it has the uploader class, which is Rails Metal. And basically it takes the file, and if it's a post method, it moves the file to a temp file path. Where this would be useful is somewhere where you could take that file from the temporary upload path. It doesn't do this in the article, but you could throw that into a message queue to do the resizing or something.
Right. Nice. So in Active Record, you have the ATTR protected command if you want to prevent certain attributes from getting set when you do mass assignment, like submitting all this stuff from a form.
Well, and then there's also attr-accessible, which is the same thing but the inverse, where you list what attributes should be able to get mass assigned.
Right. But what if you wanted to override that behavior sometimes?
Panic?
Yeah, something like that.
Rewrite Rails?
Well, no, you might want to use a plugin this week that I found from Peter Wagnett called Selective Protection. It allows you to easily override these permissions so that you can save, bulk save things.
Nice. I've never run into that, though. I've never run into that sort of issue. Where would that be useful, exactly?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is like a user form. If you want admins to be able to set admin rights on a user in the user admin, then you might want to unprotect that is admin Boolean field, which the users can't set using a batch.
So there you are, you're setting up a production server for your client. You did remember to set up a backup process, right?
You mean in case I accidentally delete the user bin directory again?
You actually did that? Did that? You actually did that?
No, I knew this guy once that did that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I knew that same guy. Anyway, the guys over at Astrails wrote up a gem called Safe, which gives you an awesome DSL for configuring your automated backups to S3.
Awesome.
Yeah, you can also easily configure which databases to dump, which directories to tar, and if you want to encrypt that backup, do backup rotation. So check it out if you need to do a nightly backup, which should be everybody.
Nice. And also, if you live in Germany, next week I'm going to be at the JAX conference in Mainz, Germany. I think it's pronounced Mainz. It's right outside of Frankfurt. On April 21st, I'm going to be part of their Ruby on Rails Day. And the following day, on Wednesday, April 22nd, I'm going to be at the Dusseldorf on Rails user group. So come out to that. Maybe I'll see you there.
Antonio Caggiano's Ruby on Rails for Microsoft Developers book has just been published. This book is basically targeted at people who are accustomed to work with Microsoft tools who'd like to learn Ruby on Rails. It's not just for ASP and ASP.NET folks. It's really aimed at anyone who uses Windows to develop and would like to move to Rails.
Nice.
Yeah, hopefully it'll do away with a few barriers and the culture clash that people sometimes experience when coming from the Microsoft world. Speaking of books, there's a book that I have that I don't think really gets enough press, and that is Design Patterns in Ruby by Russ Olson.
Yeah, that's a good book.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's another one that'll really take your Ruby skills up a notch if you ever get the time to read it while we're, promoting books.
Today I found myself looking at a blog article called Exceptional Confusion by Phil Hagelberg. Phil is sick of seeing people incorrectly creating their own error classes by extending the exception class.
Right, because exception's a bit too high up there.
Right.
You should be inheriting from standard error, right?
Right, because the exception class is only for fatal exceptions, and it's going to stop the whole application. So you're right. You want a subclass standard error if you're creating your own error classes rather than exception.
Cool. Gogoruko is going to be taking place this Friday and Saturday in San Francisco, California. If you can't make it but still want to check out the sessions, Josh Susser sent along word that Justin.TV is going to be live streaming the conference sessions. We'll provide a link in the show notes, and you can always check out what's going on the Freenode IRC channel at Gogoruko. So check it out and find a link in the show notes. Okay, thanks so much for listening to the Rails Envy Podcast. The Rails Envy Podcast is sponsored this week by Integrum. Integrum is a team of dedicated Rails developers who emphasize business value, speed to market, and open communication to build remarkable Rails applications. Building on constant communication, they guarantee that you get the work you want done. They build apps that you've been told is impossible. Thanks so much for listening to the Rails Envy Podcast, and make sure to tune in every Wednesday for the latest news in the Ruby and Rails worlds.
Trogdor comes in the night!